to focus, just to persevere and just to make it. But everything that's within your grasp, you gotta take it, you gotta go hard, and just dig deeper inside you to find that method, that mode that wants that hunger to survive, just to ride the grind and take it the way you gotta take it and never stop.
I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. Can't no one stop me, yeah, bring it in. I came to win, yeah, I came to win.
What's going on, everybody? This is Kyle Hunter. I'd like to welcome y'all back to the Diagnosis Success Podcast, where we talk about motivation, inspiration, elevation, and as always, just tapping in with your highest self, your highest spirit, and just doing great things. And today's a dope episode of the podcast because I got one of my sisters with me, my cousin. She is just a businesswoman, an entrepreneur. She operates her own business. She does hairstyling. She does it all. Like, she's super dope. Her name is Tanika Sadiku. It's basically my family, my blood, and love her to death, man. We definitely going to get into some good conversation today. So I just want to welcome her to the podcast. What's going on, sis? What's the word?
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. This is so cool.
Oh, man. Yo, we known each other for so many years, man. This is how we do, man. We have a good time. We enjoy ourselves, man. Y'all going to enjoy this podcast too, man. And today's episode, we're going to talk about a couple of things. But I had this thought, and I know one of the podcasts that we did, it really blew up. It was the podcast about relationships that I did with my brother Ryan Fields. And we were just talking about like the different types of things that happen in relationships, good, bad, and different, how to move, how to maneuver in those relationships. So I figured it'd be dope to have my cousin come on because, you know, we could get a female perspective in regards to these things. So the things that I wanted to highlight, and I thought about this today, are three types of relationships. And I really thought about this in terms of just like when you look at relationships, like how people operate, how they function. And from what I could see, I noticed that there were like really three types, and I'm just going to break it down real quick, and then we're going to really start to dissect it. But for me, the first type is a soulmate connection. And I feel a soulmate connection is basically something that's truly deep. It's a deeply rooted connection that you feel with someone. So it's not at face value. It's not a fleeting feeling. It's like this is someone that you truly feel in your core. You feel them in your soul, and you just know. It's like in the streets, they got a saying. They're like, if you know, you know. And if you don't, you don't. So a soulmate connection is truly there. And that's not to say that within that relationship that you won't find challenges or difficulties, because that's a given. You're always going to have that. But a soulmate connection, I would liken it to being in love. Like, you're in love with someone's spirit. You're in love with their vibe. Like, you just feel them in your soul. And it's a mutual connection. The second one that we're going to break down are the settlers, is what I like to call them. And a settler is basically someone who, they've been in a relationship for a long duration or a short duration, and within their core, they know that like this is not their soulmate, but they've been together for a good amount of time to the point where they know it's not necessarily the worst situation. It's not the best situation, but they just settle and try to make it work for whatever reason that might be. You know, it's a lot of reasons. We can get into those reasons. And then the third component are miserable people. And I hate to laugh, but those are the people who is not a soulmate connection. They're not settling. They are just miserable. And these are the people who they know their relationship is a high level of miscommunication, toxicity. However, they stay for whatever reason that might be, because of finances, because of children, because of whatever, people stay in these volatile relationships. So those are the three ones that I had. I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to start off with the soulmate connection. So what I want to ask you is like, what are your thoughts on soulmate connections and relationships? And have you ever experienced what you thought was a soulmate connection, or do you feel that you haven't really experienced that yet? So what's your thoughts on that?
Okay, cool. So let's see. So I agree with what you're saying about soulmates and what soulmate connections are. I do feel like that is, it's a kindred spirit bond. I feel like once you meet that person and that person exudes what you thought love looked like, what your love language was or is, to a point where it's like there is an unspoken chemistry, chemistry and connection that happens between the two of you that is just unparalleled, to a point where you're just like, there is something here. There's like a gravitational pull. And I feel like that is truly what a soulmate is. But on the flip side, I do feel like you could be on a different level with that person and may not be a soulmate, but I think it can grow into that. I do think it depends on the growth of the person, the maturity of the person, and the connectiveness and the longevity of the person wanting to be with you. So I feel like we are masters of our domain and masters of what we want to show. And I do think that we have such power. So sometimes we don't realize how much power we have. So it's like, even if the connection isn't as strong, as it grows and as we grow together, it can absolutely get to that bond. Personally, for myself, I don't believe I met my soulmate. I do believe that I met some great guys that I had connection with, but soulmate, no, I have not had that experience yet. But I do believe that that connection is out there for me. And I think that that's the reason why God will not let me settle, because there is more and bigger.
Wow, that's heavy. That's heavy, because I feel you on that. And I feel like, so here's a question. Here's an interesting question that I have for you, because I know that there are a lot of people out there that the reality is that a lot of people, you know, I don't feel like this life is the only life that we live. You know, I feel that, and I know there's people that will debate that. There's people that will agree with me. I feel like our spirits are eternal. And, you know, it's energy at the end of the day. So we live on, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, you know, if you take the intimacy out of it, if you talk about like soul friends, right? You can meet people in your life that you just have a bond to. You know what I'm saying? Like you can meet a dude that you vibe with. You can meet a female that you vibe with. And it's like, y'all just hit it off like y'all knew each other for years. And chances are you probably did, you know, could have been in a past life or whatever, like kindred souls, kindred spirits are what they call them. You know what I'm saying? So I guess the question that I would have is that, do you feel that, like, because we realize that there's some people that'll be blessed and fortunate enough to meet their soulmate, and there's some people that won't, right? Depending on a lifetime, right? You know, depending on a lifetime, maybe this life cycle, you know, you won't meet them. So do you think it's better for people to, well, you know what? I'm gonna save this question. Let me hold this question. I'm gonna put that on a back burner, right? We're gonna pause that, slow it down. Right. And because I'm gonna ask that question after we go through these. So, all right. So my second question for you is transitioning to the settlers, the people that settle. I feel that I'm gonna just go out on a limb. I'm gonna say I feel like at least 75% of our population settle. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like 75%, and people listening to this podcast right now might strike a nerve, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people listening that are settling. You are either in a relationship that you are not completely fulfilled in, you're either in a marriage that you're not completely fulfilled in, and you're settling for whatever reason. So has there been times in your life where you know, he laughed where like you were in relationships where you knew you were aware that you were settling, and like, how did you navigate that? Like, did you like get to a point where you were like, it's time for me to dip set, I gotta go? Or like just talk about that. Just man.
You want me to put all my business out here in these streets? Okay. So I will definitely say that I agree with you saying about 75% of the world is settling in relationship, because I do think that is spot on. I think that a lot of times people are just exhausted from day-to-day life, that they're just looking for someone who can be with them. And it may not be the person for them, but they want to be with someone. So absolutely, I have settled. Absolutely. But I am not going to push that responsibility on just the partner. I take full responsibility for my part in it. I was not 100% whole with myself. So I allowed myself to settle because I had an unbelief and an unspoken bond with myself that I didn't deserve better. And I do think a lot of people do that. In so many different areas of their lives, they get to a point where they're just like, you know what? this is it. There's nothing else. Or I'm scared of what's else. I knew, and I always know in my heart of hearts, Tanika, there's more. You have to become the Tanika that God sees, okay? Let's be the Tanika God sees, because then we are, then and only then can you receive what God wants you to have. If not, you settle for the Tanika that you are with no growth, no spiritual movement, then you get to settle with this person and try to make a life, quote unquote, which is foolishness, because at a certain point, you're going to become the person you're supposed to be, and then you're stuck. And then the other person has not grown, but this person was like, you met me like this. We chilling. So why now are you mad at me when, boom, I always been this person, but now you've elevated to the Tanika that you're supposed to be, and boom, this person is still on their plateau, and you're surpassed them, and you're like, oh my God, what the heck did I do? So, yeah.
Yeah, that's on point. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like the caterpillar and the butterfly, right? We start out one way, but then eventually we change and we become what we truly should be. But the crazy thing is that even though like the caterpillar, and that's a metaphor for what we start out as, you always know your potential though.
But do you believe your potential?
That's true. So knowing your potential and believing your potential are two different things. Because if you truly believe your potential, you'll know, yo, you know what? I'm not going to settle for another caterpillar because I know I'm eventually become a butterfly. So I'm going to wait and I'm going to align myself with something that's in alignment with what I know I'm going to be. And then it's like, I guess it's kind of like the Bible says too, like the dangers of being unequally yoked, right? Because like once you become that butterfly, but you're stuck with this caterpillar who refused to become a butterfly too and grow, it's like, what do you do? You know what I'm saying? So I think that's the dangers of settling. And, you know, I get it. At the end of the day, it's like life happens. I think people get tired of the dating realm because there's so much trash out there. It's like.
Give me the mic, sir. Let me expound on that. So let's be real. The settling happens because, yes, there's a lot of trash out there, but also it's a spiritual exhaustion. To connect, first and foremost, let's be real. Everyone, we all adults in this wonderful podcast. Hello, everyone. We're adults. So there are people that are still consummating and having sex with these different people and creating multiple soul ties that will stop you from being able to be with the person that you need to be with. I do think that when we think we're supposed to be here, we're supposed to be there, it taints and messes with such, messes up with divine order. Because one, we can't wait on God's timing. Two, we're anxious because we're exhausted. And I mean, I've definitely been privy to that. I've been like, yo, I'm tired and I am going to be 41. Hello, I'm so gorgeous. I know, but I'm going to be 41 in like a few weeks. And I have no children right now because I know that I want to be a wife and I want to be a mother. But the crazy thing is I don't mind waiting until God says it's right, because anyone you get connected to can change and they can get to a point where I'm this butterfly and they're on the floor, on the ground as a caterpillar, and they're upset with my growth and my change. And then that's self-sabotage. That's just adding these negative effects to relationship. But I think that in my heart of hearts, I do feel that it's exhausting, and people, I hear you, I understand out there. I pray that God blesses y'all with that longevity strength. You know, I have amazing family and friends who are married, who have children, who have built families, and everyone's working to strive to be better. It's difficult outside looking in, but we can't settle because we're outside looking in, because one, we have no idea what it took to create that bond. We have no idea what it takes to sustain that bond on a daily basis. And I don't want to try to create a bond with someone who doesn't want to create one with me, you know?
Those are facts too. And in addition to that, because sometimes it's like, in addition to what you see on the surface, no one knows what those bonds really are too, behind closed doors, right? It's like sometimes things can look a certain way and it's not that, you know what I'm saying? So it's like they say, comparison is the thief of joy. So we really don't know, you know, what's going on. All we could do is run our own race and live our truths. Exactly. That appear healthy, right? You know what I'm saying? So many people out here capping on social media and just capping in general and presenting false truths. And yeah, that's so true. And then to piggyback off of what you said too about the soul ties, for people out there that aren't in tune, I know a lot of listeners on this podcast are, but if you're not familiar with a soul tie is, so essentially what we're talking about is that when you expose yourselves to other people, especially during sex, like let's keep it 100, like sexual intercourse, it's not just sex, right? There is a spiritual interaction. There's a spiritual exchange with sex. So when you engage with someone, your soul is now engaging with that person. I hear plenty of people talking about, oh, it's just sex. It's just a quickie. It's just this. I wasn't into that person. You don't got to be into that person. But trust and believe, your soul has some form or level of interaction with that person once you engage in that sexual activity. So when we talk about soul ties, what we're basically talking about is you have to be aware and you have to be mindful of who you're laying down with, because you're not just laying down with that person. You're laying down with a spirit. And in addition to that spirit, I got news for y'all. All the people that person slept with before you, when you really want to get deep about soul ties, you sleeping down with those spirits too. You know what I'm saying? Like these are the exchanges that happen. I don't care when nobody try to sell you a dream and say, oh, no, you know, I just had sex with this person. It wasn't, nah, sir, nah, ma'am. You still got soul ties chasing you. And that's what happens. So at the end of the day, it's like you have to be very particular. You have to be very diligent and very cognizant of who you are laying down with. Like, it's too many diseases out there and it's too many bad spirits, bad vibes. You know what I mean? You out here sleeping around, shorty depressed. Next thing you know, you walking around depressed and you feel away because you, for no reason, but you sleeping with a shorty who's depressed and always got a bad attitude and you don't know why you feel that way. Like, let's keep it a band though. Like, this is real stuff that people don't want to talk about. I think as society progresses and it gets so, the smarter society gets, the dumber it gets to the most natural things. You know what I'm saying? Like, we tend to overlook the spiritual realm and the things that matter, you know, and these are real talks, real conversations, man. I'm sure that the real can relate. Another thing that we're going to talk about, which I mentioned before, are the people that are living in misery, right? And I feel like the misery index is high, especially in society nowadays, because a lot of people, I see like on social media, chase the bag. Let me get the bag, right? Let me get to the money. Like females, they want to get a guy that got the bag, right? So they're getting pregnant by athletes, rappers. Nick Cannon, yeah. Oh man, yeah. Like it's crazy out here. You know, people chasing the bag. And instead of people chasing character, you know what I'm saying? And like actually aligning yourself with someone that has similar morals, similar codes, similar ethics as yourself, because you're chasing something so frivolous as money, paper, right? We're talking about paper here, people. Like at the end of the day, like this is where the misery index comes in, because, you know, yeah, you have something that's monetary, but you're not edifying your soul. Your relationship is empty. You're miserable. Now you're just with this person because, you know, either you have kids with this person, you have a certain quality of life that you don't want to sacrifice, right? There's a lot of people out there, you know, these quote unquote stay-at-home moms who, you know, they got like a great life at face value, but it's like they feel empty on the inside. They don't feel fulfilled, right? You know, it's like these guys too, where, you know, they want the Instagram models, you know, the Instagram vixens, where it's like, oh, you know, the body's crazy. You know, she got the breast implant. She got the Brazilian butt lift. She looked crazy on the beach, but, you know, her looks are not going to raise your kids. You know what I'm saying? So now you married this hottie who she's barely home. You know, she's running the streets. She's for the streets. You're miserable. You can't save her. You know what I'm saying? She's a runner. She's a track star, right? She ain't even passing the baton. She's a track star. She she got the baton. She is the baton. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be careful and in tune with what is going on out here, you know. So you know, I guess
So to expound on what you're saying, Cal, I think that a huge part of someone being miserable because they're chasing something that's fleeting, as i.e. money, i.e. body, i.e. image, I think that a lot of times people that do that, they're looking for something within that they're lacking. And I think that it's easier to say I'm chasing something that may be unattainable, let's be real, so that they can feel better about being in a situation where they are miserable and they are unfulfilled. I think a huge part of being miserable with someone, what is it? Hurt people, hurt people. Let's be real. So if I'm toxic and you're toxic, cool. We decide to get together and do this, no problem. But it's like at an instant, that mind can change. And then that toxic person becomes toxic to you instead of, oh, you know, we just, this is what we do. I know people that are in relationships that are not fulfilling to themselves, but they don't want to start over. They don't want to lose this familiar situation for a new fleeting one. So being miserable in a relationship, one, I think that's a huge slap in the face to God. And I think that's a huge slap in the face to yourself. Like, elevate, want more. And in the midst of the growing pains, you'll figure it out. But to stay in a miserable situation, like, imagine waking up every day being miserable, hating yourself, hating your partner. If you have offspring, hating the kids. That is exhausting. Bruh, like, why? But again, it depends on the people. And I do think, like we had a private conversation. I do think that some people think they deserve better. So they stay in a miserable situation because they feel the self-loathing that this is all I deserve.
That's true. That's a fact. Cause you know, I thought about this too. It's like, you know, when you look at people's situations, I guess I can understand it, but at the same time, like, I understand the logic that you need to be happy. So let's go back to, like, if you got a stay-at-home mom and let's say that she's not happy, right? She's miserable, right? Like, for whatever reason, whatever it could be, right? She's just miserable. But if her financial stability is contingent upon her mate, right? Then it's like, you can see the trick bag in that. It's like, yeah, like, you should leave if you're not happy, but if your financial stability is based in this person and you've never worked a day in your life, you know what I'm saying? And you have no skill set, you're going to stay in that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're just going to stay in that, which is rather unfortunate. And I feel like miserable people, they're more attached to circumstances. You know what I'm saying? So like I said, whether it's for the kids, whether it's for the finances. And a lot of times, if it's not that, then they're more so attached to what used to be as opposed to what it is. So you're miserable because maybe 15 years ago, you and Bobby were happy, you know, and you're holding on to what it was. You know what I'm saying? And instead of really self-assessing to see where it presently is and say, all right, you know what? This isn't what it used to be, you know, and we have to reassess, like, what are we doing? Like, where are we going? So I think, yeah, it's they're all interesting dynamics. I mean, you got the soulmate, the settlers, and the misery, you know? And I think that's why most people, unfortunately, you know, you can tell me your thoughts on this. I think this is why most people kind of are in the middle with settling, because most people aren't privy to find their soulmate, at least in this lifetime. And then most people don't want to be miserable, so they settle and they say, all right, you know, if I can't find my soulmate, I don't want to be miserable, so I'm just going to stay where I'm at, you know? And that sucks too, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, at that point, you're not living, you're existing, right? You're getting up, you're going to work, you come home, and you're existing, right? And then the weekend comes, and then you do it all over again next week, right? So it's like, I think, how do you think somebody can break out of that? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've dated enough, you haven't found your soulmate, you know, you know what it's like to be miserable. You don't want to settle. Like, where is the resolve in that? Like, what do you think?
Oh, that's a loaded question, because I do think, and again, this is my personal opinion from my experience here on this earth. I do think that at any point we can change, but that comes through self-discovery, self-mastery. That comes through being open to experiences that are not your day-to-day. I don't think that people want to take the rose-colored glasses off. They're scared and they're frightened by what could be. or what's next, because then they have to evolve. And a lot of people are settling because they don't want to evolve. If I decide that I want to stay on this plateau for the rest of my life, cool. Because there are certain people that need to stay there while others need to elevate. I do think that it's difficult to switch things that you see as norm. And you see as, and the thing is, who am I to want more than what my mama had, my grandma had, my daddy had? Who am I? I'm greatness. If I take the moment to take a, to really sit and look, I am greatness. I deserve to not settle and to not just survive. I had to wake up. So let's take a personal moment. I had to completely wake up after my mom passed, because I was living to help her. My mother was, for y'all that don't know, my mother was a great woman, but she was toxic because she had so much unforgiveness in her heart. And even now, I know that I have to work on my unforgiveness and my crazy, because if I don't, it will kill me. It legit killed my mother because she would not let it go. She took it to her grave. I'm right. Strong and wrong.
What was she right about?
Any and everything that she thought she was right about. So my mother was right with thinking people were out to get her and this, that, and the third. That's the narrative she made in her head. Instead of saying, like, we're talking about self-mastery, self-discovery, therapy, truly letting go and freeing your spirit. Because in the midst of being settling, you're not wanting to face that maybe it's me. Maybe it's not someone else. Maybe I'm the toxic person. Maybe that's not on Billie Jean or Boo Boo the Fool. Maybe it's not on them. Maybe it's on me. Maybe I actually had another personal story. Me and a girlfriend of mine have gotten into it. And I had to take a moment and be like, yo, T, you was wrong. One, because I value that relationship. But more so, if I'm supposed to grow, I can't hold on to the toxicity, because that will become my mom and that will take me out. And there's too much life to live before I decide I'm going to hold on to this to be strong and wrong. No, strong and wrong does not serve me if I want to be in relationship with someone. So I'm going to continue reaching out to that person, but I understand timing and I understand the steps behind it, because it may not also be me. We all got to take that moment and face that mirror. But I do believe that a lot of people are just not wanting to take a moment and be like, damn, I may be wrong. I actually may be miserable and want to stay miserable. How do I get out of that?
Yo, I agree with you. And you know what's crazy? So we had an episode of this podcast. It was like one of the most streamed episodes that I did. I did it solo. And that episode was called Toxic Rightness.
Strong and wrong, man.
And in that episode, I broke it down, the dynamics between men and women, especially in relationships, whether it's intimate relationships, interpersonal relationships, friendships, and those dynamics, and how just those dynamics alone, where people get on their righteous white high horse, right? And they're waving that flag and it's like, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. And what you realize is that's toxic rightness to the T, because no one is always right. You understand what I'm saying to you? We're humans, we're flawed, we make mistakes. So when you encounter those people that always feel that they're right and they're never wrong, that's toxic rightness. And what happens is those types of people, they end up becoming isolated because no one wants to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? I met so many people, like, you know, just doing what I do, from traveling, from music, from speaking on panels. And, you know, I've narrowed it down to two types of people in this world. It's people that take accountability. They take ownership. They're able to self-reflect, self-assess. And those are the most successful people. You know what I'm saying? The most unsuccessful, negative people that are non-productive are toxic rightness people. You know, those are the people who, when I talk to them, they'll tell me, oh, you know, I've had, you know, so many relationships and, you know, all of them have failed. But everyone else is wrong. Everyone else is the problem. They will highlight everyone else's flaws and everyone else's deficits, but they will not take accountability. Let's face it. If I was in a relationship with 15 different women, right, at 15 different points in my life, and they all failed, they never amounted to anything, And I sat up here and I told you guys everything that all 15 of those women did wrong, but I never paused to take accountability for my participation in those relationships. I'm toxic, because I can guarantee you there was at least something positive that all of those women brought to my life, because I never would have entered a relationship with them. There was something at one point in time that I saw positive in each and every one of those women to make me engage them. Maybe I like their personality. Maybe I like, you know, their ambition. But for me to sit up here and try to portray them all in a negative fashion and not have anything positive to say about any of them, that shows you how toxic of a person I would be. You know, so that's, you know, to your point, you know, people have to, we have to self-assess and we have to be truthful and we have to be transparent. You know, don't live a lie. Well, I think what that boils down to is, like you said, self-reflection, self-assessment. And if you can't do that, right? Because there's some people that can't do that. Let's face it. There's some people that are just total jerks, right? Like there's, right. There's people that are blinded. There's people that are very jaded and they just feel that, yo, you know what? You gets no wins here, homie. I don't care what it is. You're the problem. I'm never going to be the problem. I'm always right. Men and women alike, these type of people exist, right? So I think for those types of people, if you find yourself like on a repetitive cycle of failed relationship after failed relationship, you really need to, this is just me personally, I would suggest go see a therapist. You know what I'm saying? To get to the root of what it is. What we fail to realize is that we all have trauma. We all are travel agents. And when I say travel agents, we're carrying emotional baggage. We carry an emotional baggage from childhood. We carry an emotional baggage from watching our parents' dysfunctional relationships. We carry an emotional baggage from growing up in the hood, PTSD, seeing the violence, seeing the substance abuse, domestic violence. We all have trauma. We're travel agents. You know what I'm saying? Whether you want to own it or not, we all travel agents. So at the end of the day, it's like you have to at some point unpack that baggage.
People take the baggage as an identity and they don't want to put down that identity. I actually was with someone who identity was a certain way of life, and the second that I helped introduce them to something different, they ran because they couldn't handle that. So I think that when being in relationship with someone, first off, if you pick someone that you're attracted to, there's chemistry, there's a reason, because that person may be in your life for a reason, season, or lifetime, right? So I do think I was in this person's life for a reason. I wanted to be in that person's life for a lifetime, but I was only in their life for a reason, because I needed to shed a light on what was happening. That was a cycle that was actually keeping them stuck. What do you mean, what was happening? So in the cycle in this person's life was that they were trying to save family from themselves, because family always went to them when they needed them, always went to them because they were healthy, quote unquote. Okay. But this person's identity was built in the midst of, I can fix it, I can help you, I can save you. When in reality, it was a detriment to their growth. Because when I came into their life, they said they wanted it. But you got to understand, when you say you want your mirror is going to shine bright and show you what needs to change. And also possibility of what's next. This person saw that and decided to retreat back into what was known, because there they felt safest. You know what I mean?
Of course. There's a saying. The saying for everybody listening is, don't let your family destroy your family. So what that means is, for people listening out there, you can have your family. You can have your mother. You can have your father. You can have your brothers, your sisters, whatever. Once you venture off to make your own relationship, your own family, you have to protect that. And you can't let all costs. And you can't let your family destroy your family, what you're trying to build. And a lot of people, true to form, it's like they come from toxic families and they let those families affect what they're trying to build. And ultimately what happens is you can never have anything. because nobody's ever going to be good enough. Nobody's ever going to meet the standard that your family has. And meanwhile, they toxic as hell. You know what I'm saying? So who are you really trying to appease? It's at the end of the day, it's like you got to live your life and you got to build something sustainable for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that's what a lot of Of course. And the crazy thing is like toxic family members and toxic family history, like they're okay with that because that's toxicity. I always liken it to like when you enter into a relationship, and this is for the male and the female listeners. Anytime you enter into a new relationship, you have to think of it like you're a new coach for a new team, right? And obviously, the franchise brought you on for a reason because the team was failing before. They weren't winning before you. So they see the potential in you to take the team where it should go, the team being the relationship. So you come on board and you can start to see the players because you're on the sidelines. It's harder to assess the game when you're in it. You can assess it when you're on the sidelines because you're not in it. You're the coach. You're watching all the plays. You're seeing who's dropping the ball. You're seeing who's shooting the ball well. You can see everything better because you're not in the game. So you're coming in as the new coach and you see auntie fumbling the ball. You see uncle with the drinking problem. You see mommy with a problem with her mouth. You see daddy who got issues. And you see all the dysfunctional players. And then what happens is when you start calling the plays like, yo, you dropping the ball, you fumbling. Now you become the problem because you're the new coach. You're seeing the dysfunctionality and you're like, yo, check this out. I know you love your brother, but your brother's draining you dry and he's a financial leech, you know, or I know that you love your mom, but she's toxic. And now because you're bringing these dysfunctionalities to the forefront, you become the enemy. You become the threat because you're calling out BS and you're saying, oh, this ain't right. Listen, I know you've been living like this for a long time, but I'm just trying to tell you how I see it. This is functional dysfunction and it ain't working, you know, and they view you and then they almost try to weaponize their emotions against you because now they try to flip it on you and remix it like you're self-righteous. So they assess it as, oh, you think you're so much better than me? And then they try to flip it on you. Well, look at your family. But you got to keep the focus. No one's saying that you're perfect. You're just trying to help the situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's real talk, man.
So let's be 100%. No man is an island. So if I think that what I'm seeing, I'm better than and I can help them. So I want to help with this, the situations and the plays that I'm watching that are fumbling the ball, that's making us lose the game. I'm going to help you. But you have to be willing to allow the coach to come in and be a coach. So sometimes when you're playing the game and you're in there and you're watching it, you don't want the new coach. Who are you? We've been a franchise for how long? Who are you to come in and just buy the whole damn team and then tell us we've been doing it wrong? We've been playing like this forever. Who are you? So in the midst of finding someone and picking someone, you have to make sure that that person is open and receptive to possible new coaching. If they're not open receptive to possible new coaching, you have to get out of the game. You got to stop watching that game because that game is going to keep going without you. And they're going to bring in a new coach that's going to be like, that's good. That's nice. Ooh, that was a good layup. What? Fumble. Yay. Happy. Oh, come on, y'all. Yes. Because if I don't like what the coach is doing, what do? We get the franchise, the bottom out, and get somebody else new to come in because we want to keep the game going the way we like the game going. And you're shining a light on places we want to keep dark. We like the way that dysfunctionality works over there. I think that a lot of times we have to get elevated as people, not even just people. I mean, just as human beings to a point where we're like, yo, if I brought this person into my life or there's a connection that's stronger, let me take a moment and one, speak to God and ask God, how can I receive what's being brought to me? Because if it's coming from a place that's not toxic, then obviously God is answering a prayer that's needed. And even in my last interaction with someone that was a great person, but turned out to not be my person, I still am looking and reflecting and being like, God, where did I go wrong so that I don't have to repeat that? But a lot of people aren't doing that because that's painful. It's very painful to take a moment and say, maybe I was wrong. the ego, let me put the ego aside for a second. But for me to put my ego aside, bruh, are you serious? Like, what do I do?
Facts. It's real talk. It's real talk. Like, ownership, accountability, and self-assessment. Like, being able to assess, like, yo, this is what it is, man. You know, like, that's real talk. So, nah, I agree with that 110%. Because one thing I want to ask you, too, what is it, would you say, ultimately, that women want? Like, you know, I think, like... Yeah, like in relationships, because I feel like, you know, from the time that our parents were coming up, things were different. You know what I'm saying? Like now, especially like with technology, the way things are changing, I think like things are different. So from your perspective, like what do you feel is it that women want like presently in this present day? Like whatever you feel it is like in a relationship, like what it is.
Okay, so I can say this. I can say what I deem, again, this is my opinion, my personal opinion and my walk on this earth. Through this walk, I want out of relationship, let's just talk partnership. I want to be seen. I want to be heard and I want to be loved. And I also want to be respected. So, and then also I want guidance. That may seem like a lot, but I do want my husband to lead. I do want the person in my life to say, Tanika, you have a blind spot here, but I got you. I see that blind spot. So I'm going to help you navigate around that. I want to be in a relationship where there's fun, there's love, there is a commonality where we can be friends. There's a commonality in being lovers. There's a commonality in spiritual walk. I think that it's entirely a detriment to a woman to go into a relationship with someone where she thinks she can fix them, or she feels that I'm going to overlook those red flags because I can make him better and I can help him change, when no one's going to change for themselves, but for themselves. I think that a lot of women need to put their God complexes down, because let's be real, as a Black woman, I'm going to speak it, as a Black woman, we hold on to that ego, that righteous, right attitude as a badge of honor. And a lot of us are still searching for a partnership because we're looking for something unattainable. So there's a reason that man and woman come together. There's a reason that you find partnership and relationship with whoever your partner is. Let's not even just say man and woman, whoever your partners is. You know what I mean? Because we're in such a wonderful dynamic now. Let's be real. Let's enclose and include everyone. Got you. You know what I mean? Include everyone. But let's be real. To come into partnership with someone, you're looking for betterment. I'm looking to become a better Tanika because I'm with you. Not, of course, I'm going to become a better Tanika on my own. But with you, I'm going to become a phenomenal Tanika. That's what I'm looking for.
Now that's dope. That's dope. That's definitely dope. I kind of feel, too, like part of the dynamic, too, I feel like society is to blame for a lot of things, and I'll tell you why. Because, and I kind of touched on this on the last relationship episode we did, where we spoke about upbringings for boys and girls, right? Girls are more so like they're raised to be princesses. Prince Charming is going to come in. He's going to sweep you off your feet. Things are going to be whimsical, happily ever after. Boys more so raised to be rough, rugged, don't show emotion. If you're crying as a boy, shut up before I give you something to cry about. So we grow up, yeah, you're weak, you know, you're a sissy, all these things. And then it's like you grow up and now you have two people coming together with complexes that they may or may not be aware of, right? It's like you have a guy coming into it where I have to be masculine. I have to be machismo. I can't show emotion because that would mean that I'm a sissy. I'm soft. I'm weak. I don't want my woman to portray me as weak. So I'm going to be firm and tough. She's coming into it with the princess complex of, oh, you know, this is my Prince Charming. This is my happily ever after. And now there's a clash there because when it's time to communicate, well, when that young man was a boy and he showed emotion and he cried, he was told to shut up before I give you something to cry about, boy, before I whoop you. But now you're a grown man and you're in this relationship and your spouse wants you to communicate, but you were raised with these barriers to communication. So now how do you defeat those barriers that you've had from a young boy? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is why I say, you know, society can present these emotional barriers, and, you know, just placing people in emotional boxes, right? Like, women are supposed to be this way. Men are supposed to be this way, and anything, there's no gray area. It's either black or white. So I think that just actually as we grow up and we navigate, and even like with our children, you know, as we raise them, to let them know it's okay to be certain ways. It's okay to be expressive, you know, to tell a young man, just because you express yourself, it does, hey, you're good, because just because you express yourself, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a deficit or that's a weakness. That's a strength. You know, to be able to articulate yourself and communicate, hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. These are all strengths. You know what I'm saying? So what's your thoughts on that?
I hear you. I think that you got to want to see different, though. Because if I see that being macho means such and such and such and such, but I feel like I don't need to change, that's a detriment. Huh, that's hard. I think that a lot of us want to be whole, but the steps to getting there is so tough that we don't want to do it. And that sucks, because it's like, there's so much on the other side. There's a quote that I love. Everything you want is on the other side of fear. Please hear me, people, when I say that. Every single thing that you want is on the other side of fear, because fear is false evidence appearing real. It's crap. It's lies. So the second that you understand that everything you want is on the other side of lies that you're telling yourself, you can become stronger and your higher self. But I do think that in the midst of that, becoming that and stepping over what we see every day is scary to a lot of people. And I don't think that everyone thinks therapy / asking people that we trust to really take a real self-assessment. I do think that people are surviving day to day because it's just something you do, instead of understanding that survival is actually killing a lot of people. I was surviving for such a long time, and I was not thriving, and it was killing me because I was just going through the motions of day to day. But you have to take the moment and the time to look and say, I want more. And some people wake up at different ages and stages of their life and say, I want more. But you got to be willing to put the work in to create more. And I don't think a lot of people are doing that. I think a lot of people are just like, come on, red and blue pill, matrix. I'd rather stay asleep in the pot because I'm eating invisible steak. I'm eating tasteless steak, but I think I'm eating steak, when it's like there's more on the other side of that barrier that we create. And again, that barrier is also our safety, because then I don't have to go beyond a certain point. I don't gotta feel it. Because let's be real, it's easy to become numb and just survive. Just to go day to day, this is my job, this is my life, this is what it is, this is the relationship I'm in, blah, blah, blah. If you think that you can stay there, you never can. And the thing is, if you have God in your life, he's not going to allow you to stay there. He's always going to push you and make you uncomfortable so that you strive for more.
As a fact, because it's like, you know, I was having a conversation recently, and I was telling one of my close friends, like, and we had this dialogue too. I was like, you know, I started to feel like uncomfortable being comfortable, you know? And I think like, that's a good thing though. Like it's growth. It's God dealing with you to let you know, like, yo, you know, he's challenging you, you know, not to be complacent and to challenge yourself, whether that be business, whatever it is, like just to try new things, you know. One thing I wanted to ask you too, and it triggered a thought when we were just talking about, like, you know, the Cinderella complex and things like that. Do you think that oftentimes women block their blessings due to some of their expectations? So meaning, like, I've heard like a lot of women say, I don't want no short man. What I'm gonna do with a short man? I'm gonna pet him, right? Like they don't want a short man, or they want a dude that's making like 250 annually plus. Like they have all these expectations. It's like a bunch of check marks, right? So do you feel that sometimes women can block their own blessing? Because let's face it, if a guy sent you a dude who is like 5'1", right? He's short, right? And let's say that he works for, he's a manager at like Red Lobster, right?
I was gonna say short like a Kevin Hart, because I'll date a Kevin Hart.
Yeah, short like that. He a manager at Red Lobster, you know, he back there making sure the Cheddar Bay biscuits is pumping, they soft, they buttery, right? Every magnificent Cheddar Bays. And if that man would treat you like a queen and worship the ground that you walked on, would you honestly be able to embrace him? Noted, knowing that you didn't want a shorty. You didn't want, he would literally be your shorty.
I can't wait.
That would be your shorty. You couldn't wear heels because it'd be a wrap. It'd already be a wrap off a rip. But so when we talk about blocking your blessings, like, would you be able to embrace that if God was like, yo, shorty's for you, man? Like,
oh my God, I can't believe you asking me that. Oh my God. Okay, let's be 100%. Okay. I do think that there are times where women do block their blessings because we have a preconceived notion of what our blessing looks like. I do believe that 110%. I do believe my husband is African-American, but I've had friends that say, maybe you're blocking your blessings because he could be Caucasian, or he could be Indian, or he could be Chinese, or whatever other nationality. And I hear that, but I want my husband to be African-American. I'm attracted to African-American. So that's like, I'm attracted to 5'9" and above. You know what I mean? So I hear you. I do think that, let's be real, if he is who you're supposed to be with at a certain point, that man will stick with you until that preconceived notion dissipates. Okay? I do think that a lot of women, yes, we hold on to our ideals, but I do think that a lot of us at the point, like I said, I'm going to be 41 in a few weeks. So I do think that a lot of women have gotten to a point where we're going to put them standards down for a second, because not to a point where we're going to accept bums, but to a point where we're not going to shoot in the foot what could be coming from God. That's a blessing that we have no idea that this person will be what we're supposed to be with. But I do think that it takes time in unwrapping that package, to uncovering the layers, and again, self-discovery. You know, I do have a friend now that's like, God, just let him have a pulse. Understand that he has a good job. He making sure them Cheddar Bay biscuits is glistening with butter. I'm fine. As long as I get my free Admiral Feast, I'm good. I have people in my life like that now. I am not there. Hallelujah. I am not there. But there are people that are there, and it's okay. But it really just depends on, as long as down the line when that butterfly action really takes effect, then I'm not looking at you like you a caterpillar on the floor, because then that's hurting that person's feelings. But, you know, the Cheddar Bay biscuits and the manager at 5'1", God bless them. God bless them. The thing is, I don't think that, I'm going to be real. I think God knows what we want. And I do think that we speak what we want into existence. I do think a lot of us don't have it because we're blocking our blessing in other ways and not just the physicality. I do think a lot of mental roadblocks are up that are manifesting into reality that's keeping people single. I do believe that.
True that. And I think too, like, yeah, it's true. It's like, well, twofold, like unlearning what we thought, you know what I'm saying, that we wanted, and being able to embrace what that looks like. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, man, like real talk. It's like, yo, being able to embrace the reality as opposed to the fantasy, right? Because I think, like, you know, a lot of us, like, we have our fantasy, what we want, and, you know, that might not necessarily be what God has for us. You know what I mean? So being able to embrace that fully and, like, just appreciate it. You know what I mean? Like, that's real talk, man. So, I mean, so to shift gears a little bit, like, in terms of, I would say, like, do you think that, like, there's a time frame that people should give themselves to find what they want as opposed to what they're just willing to embrace? Like, you know, like, sometimes, like, people say, yo, you know, if in the next 5 years, this doesn't happen, then, yo, I'm just going to do whatever. Like, how do you feel about that? Like, do you feel like you should give it time, or, like, do you feel like you should just be willing to embrace, you know, like I said, if old boy comes, like, you like 5'9" and above, but let's say 5'9" and above don't come, Cheddar Bay come through. Like, all right, would you be willing to would you be willing to give it a shot? That's what I'm saying. Like,
God bless our 5'1" Cheddar Bay Biscuit managers out there in the streets. Treat your ladies good. You hear me? Treat them good. So let's be 100%. I do think that time frames come from a sense of control. I think that is another form of control that we try to have over our lives, where if we are one, believers, and two, understanding being manifestors, we know the power. So if I say and speak into the atmosphere that, oh, in 5 years, if this don't happen, then this, that, and the third, then what the atmosphere and the universe hears, oh, in 5 years, she wants this, 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 and this to happen. So let's be real. So in 5 years, if there's an issue and I'm still single, this, that, and the third, I think that I would take a really long evaluation of what I'm doing. And I'd speak to you, other family members, therapists, spiritual leader, my pastor, mentors, people that I trust to lead me into the right direction. What am I doing wrong? What am I not seeing? Do you guys think I have a pattern? And if so, what is my pattern? Because I trust y'all. I think that a reason that people get to that point where at this age, if this don't happen, this and the third, because they're not watching their blind spots. And I do think that a huge part of my last connection not lasting and past the test of time, because it wasn't just me, he also had his own blind spots that he wasn't privy to. And I think that if we want to get into relationship one another, we got to be able to have those uncomfortable conversations and take a moment to reassess, to be like, okay, I keep having this happen. I think I did that when my mom passed. I had a very realistic, positive evaluation. I said, Tanika, mom is gone now. So since she's gone, and she's been gone for over 8 years, almost nine years, I realized, Tanika, okay, so no one can, you can't blame your mother for this, that, and the third happening. You have to now start living. And once I had to take the realization of like, yo, I got to start living, then I started living. So I took the time constraints off. To be 41 and single with no kids nowadays, the sad thing is it's very common. And it's incredibly sad because, like myself, there are so many phenomenal women out there who desire marriage, desire a partnership, a healthy partnership, desire being a mom. But you have to do it in a way where it's not going to negate who you are, diminish who you are, or sabotage who you're becoming. And I think that, you know, our manager at Red Lobster with the Cheddar Bay Biscuits at 5'1", he may not be privy to what's going on, or he may. And again, I think it's to each his own. And I think that we don't have to answer to anyone about these things but ourselves.
Yeah, that's a fact. And I think, too, a dope thing that you said, which I agree with 110%, is having those honest, transparent communications. And, you know, even when you first start to engage somebody, I think that's when it's like an interview process. You know what I'm saying? Like, you basically, like, you have to be real with that person. And any reservations or concerns that you might have, you got to put them out there. Like, hey, you know, I want to get to know you. Just being transparent. You know, what's your credit score? Right? What's your relationship like with your mother and your father? What's your relationship like with your siblings, if you have any? What's your relationship with God? That's important. You know, do you wrestle with anything? Do you have any struggles? You know, what are your struggles? What are your emotional challenges? You know, do you have any trauma in your past history that you still struggle with today? Can you recognize that trauma? You know, because a lot of times people that have all these issues, what you realize is they have failed relationships because they failed themselves. You know, like, they fail to address the issues they need to address. So it's like, how can I have a successful relationship when I'm unsuccessful with myself? You understand what I'm saying to you? If I got all this trauma, I've got all this baggage, and how can I successfully have a successful relationship? I can't. I'm either going to self-sabotage every relationship I get into because I'm so broken, or I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to find a fixation on destroying anything that's trying to be built because I can't realize happiness. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know what they say, hurt people, even themselves. So it's like, you know, even when someone's trying to, you know, make you happy, you're going to find a way to make it miserable. And this is real talk. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we have to get to the point where we understand ourselves before we try to understand somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, how can I bring you into my world? What am I bringing you into? Am I bringing you into dysfunction? Am I bringing you into confusion? Am I bringing you into generational curses? Am I bringing you into generational trauma? Am I bringing you into unresolved issues? And now I'm making you think you're the issue, but really I'm the issue because I have unresolved issues. Like, let's talk about it. You know what I'm saying?
Let's be 100%. When someone has generational traumas and generational curses on their life to a point that they are not able to shine a light on it, that is going to destroy any and everything that you think you can create with this person. And there are plenty of people that don't believe they are worthy of having a healing, loving, prosperous, healthy relationship because they never saw it. And I was that person for, absolutely, I was that person for quite some time because I was like, I've never had that. I've never seen that. Does that truly exist? And it does, but it takes work to get there, a lot of self-work to get there. And if you're not ready for that, don't even enter in a relationship with someone. Get you right. Take care of you before you even subject someone to the crazy. We all got enough crazy in our lives. We don't need to meet and get more crazy because you're like, I don't want that. And I like you. And also doubling back to what you said about taking the time to shine a light on what you bring to the relationship and what you're lacking. There are plenty of people that don't take the time to recognize and realize that they may be the problem because everyone else did that. So if you had all of these amazing relationships, that means that in the beginning you are phenomenal, but then around the middle and end, you turn into a crazy person. So what is it that you are projecting out there? Like, what is it that you're giving off that's not taking a moment to say, you know what? I need some self-assessment.
Facts. Facts, because ownership and accountability, like that's fire. Well, hold on one more time.
Pass the mic. Check one, check two, pass the mic. I'm being stupid. But let's be real. If everyone that's in your corner keeps telling you you're right, you're right, you're right, take a moment and realize they're lying to you. Or they want you to stay on their wonderful mediocre plateau because they don't want you to go higher than them. Or they're scared to go higher and they want to keep you with them. So you got to take a moment and realize, yo, if the people I trust and love are the only people that are holding me accountable, my circle's too small.
Facts. Yeah. It's like you got to have people around you that constantly challenge you, you know, and you know, just being like an open book and being like totally transparent. You know, that's why I'm truly grateful and appreciative of the people that I have in my life, because I have people around me that hold me accountable every day, you know? So it's like people will see my brand, people will see my success, but what they don't see are those people in my circle that hold me accountable every day. And they challenge me. And I love y'all dearly for it because it's like, y'all make me better. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm great because I don't have yes people in my circle. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got the type of people that'll call me up and be like, yo, you bugging. Like, yo, you bugging. Like, yo, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't. Or you moving funny with that. Don't do that. Yes. And they'll challenge me and they hold me accountable. And that's what you need. You need people that truly hold you accountable and hold you to a higher standard. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, I'm not going to let you be mediocre. You're going to be great. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying?
Because I know that you can do it.
And the thing is, if I see in you greatness, I don't want you to stay on that mediocre level. Because let's be real, we've had examples of mediocrity and we're looking at it later on in life and being like, I never want that to be me.
Facts. It's all levels. It's all levels. Well, you know, this podcast has been super, super fire, because super dope. Super dope. Yep. Super dope, man. We got into some stuff. Yo, we got so deep, but we also got to just talk about what else my cousin has going on, because you know I champion the people in my circle and I love them dearly, and she's fire. Like, she's highly accomplished, she's successful, you know, she's a phenomenal hairstylist, and I mean, she's done so many dope people recently. Tisha Campbell, Ramon, all of that. Yo, just talk about what you do, cuz, how you do it, and just talk to them. Give them the sauce.
Give me my flowers. Hallelujah. Give me my flowers. So I've been a hairstylist for over 13 years. I love what I do, truly. And I'm grateful. So everyone check me out on Instagram and as well as Facebook. It's Hair by Sadiku. And I love it. And then the website is www.tanikasadiku.com. Okay. So I'm a hairstylist. I have a thriving wedding business called Sadiku Weddings. I also work on Broadway on such wonderful productions as Chicken and Biscuits, Mollywood Dreams, as a hair supervisor, as well as I have some wonderful great clientele that is celebrities that just so happen to be celebrities. So I style June Ambrose from time to time, and then I also style Tisha Campbell, and I'm just like super excited for the transition into my life. But again, this has been such a phenomenal transition that if I didn't start doing this self-work, I would never be able to receive that. I've been working with Louis Vuitton. I've been working with BET, with Access Hollywood, Good Morning America. God is blessing me with my business. And I'm grateful that God is also blessing me in my personal life. And I think that God is allowing me to take the self-assessment to understand that in order for me to bless you in this area, I want to bless you in all areas, not just one area. So you have to be open and receptive to receiving in all areas of your life. And right now the business is going really good and it's thriving. I actually just hired a brand manager. I'm super excited about that. I'm super excited and super nervous because I feel like they're really going to stretch me to the limit, creating a press junket, creating a new website, a new branding module. Like, ooh, that's intimate. Like, ooh. But I appreciate the money that's coming with it. Hallelujah.
That's it, man. That's it, man. Look, great things just coming. And we just truly happy and appreciative for it. And this has been like a super dope episode, man. It's just fire. It's fire, man. I'm going to have you back on again because we're going to do a part two as things progress. Because, you know, this is dope. And I feel like, you know what, like these conversations are needed. Like they say, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. It's two different perspectives, you know. So I mean, to be able to have your angle, your perspective was super dope, man. So yo, appreciate you, love you. Yeah, man. And once again, this is Kyle Hunter. Y'all was listening to the Diagnose Success Podcast. Definitely appreciate y'all listening. Our ratings are through the roof. We appreciate y'all. We out here. We appreciate y'all, man. And just once again, be successful, be great, and just always walk in your high truth. Winning so much that it seems wrong. Never gonna lose, that's my theme song. I'm just a kid in the jeans on. Back to reality, ain't no one bad as me. See, they be doubting, but I keep on actually pushing. Not giving up, that's how I give it up. Pushing, not giving up, that's how I give it up. That's how I give it up.